Very good. Grateful. Thank you to Pastor Freddie for inviting both my husband, William, and I here to share. Hold on. Okay. As you can see from the photo up there on the screen, we are parents to Isaac and Chloe. Isaac is 21 years old. Chloe is 15 years old. And yes, he's just finished his army and he's starting uni at the SIM soon. And Chloe is still studying. And we are actually youth with a mission, missionaries. That I'm so used to people clicking the slides for me. Okay, we're youth with a mission, missionaries. Now we are based in Singapore. We were in, we were serving in New Zealand for four years, and then for three years, and then we went over to Philippines to serve for 4 years. We were serving with the YWAM Family Ministries, so that's part of the reason why I'm standing here. And in YWAM Singapore, we are actually serving as member care people, member care staff. We've got about 70 over staff at Youth with a Mission in Singapore. So we are actually taking care of our staff in Singapore, walking alongside with them even as they serve. So William and I, we are both serving in YWAM. And we are actually worshipping, not in an Anglican church, but we're worshipping in a Methodist church. We're members at Barker Road Methodist Church. So certain liturgy, and it's slightly different, but we are still quite familiar. We attend the upper room service, which is more charismatic. So yeah, so I'm actually quite surprised that we'll be here in the cathedral. This is the first time I'm actually here, and thank you for having us again. I have a confession to make, actually. I am not a preacher. So when it was actually Hambali, I think, is a youth worker from your church. Hambali actually invited another of our staff, and that's Verla Brownell. But Verla happens to be in Myanmar. So she cannot be here. So she came to me and she said, "Patrina, would you like to share at a family service? You know, just share whatever you usually share." So for William and myself, we usually teach topics on families. So when she said that, I said, "Oh, sure, why not?" And then lo and behold, when Pastor Freddie called me, it dawned on me that actually it's preaching, it's not sharing, it's not teaching, it's preaching. So I kind of like, I mean, actually we had something else on, but I did tell Pastor Freddie that I will go and rearrange and I will see how. And I went to my husband and I just said, maybe I should say no. But two things happened. The first thing was, after speaking to Pastor Freddie, God gave me this passage to share. So it just came and God said, share on this passage. And the other thing was, my husband just said, share lah, just share. So it was like, okay, I had no choice. So I called Pastor Freddie back and I said, okay, I will take it on, and that's why I'm here. So I'm more of a teacher, and actually I'm a teacher by training. I was a school teacher a long time ago. So I would like to see how many of you are children here. Can I have a show of hands? Children? Okay, I feel better now. So you're going to see that today's message is very simple, because I am actually speaking to the children, and I hope that the mummies and daddies and the rest of the adults will pay attention and will catch the lesson as well. Oops. Okay. Today the topic is Jesus feeds the 5,000, and I've given the title as Food for Thought. Food for Thought because this passage obviously refers to food, right? Lots of food. But why Food for Thought is because, like I said just now, I'm a teacher by training, and I believe in asking good questions. And I like my students to ask good questions. So today you'll find that we're going to ask questions. And hopefully, as we ask the questions, as I present the questions, God will input into you and challenge all of us. And I must also confess that even as I prepare this lesson for today, God challenged me a lot. He actually challenged me to move out of my comfort zone. I don't like standing here preaching. It's not something that I like to do. Teaching, sure. Because teaching, I get response from the audience, from the people listening. Where else in preaching, I just see your faces. So I had a friend who told me, just take off your glasses, then you don't see them. But it's not a matter of taking off my glasses, then I can't see my notes. Then another friend texted me earlier on this morning, just wear your sunglasses. So I don't think it's going to work that way. Yeah, I'm still quite nervous, actually. So shall we pray even before I start? Father, we just want to invite your presence here. We know you are here. And Father, you are so good. And you have brought us here. And we believe that, God, you have a lesson for us to learn this day. And even as much as you have taught me, Lord, I just pray. I pray for the seeds that are going to fall on good grounds and that are going to be receptive to your Holy Spirit, and that, God, you're going to challenge us, you're going to grow us, you're going to move us out of our comfort zone. Thank you, Lord, for being here with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can see I have some beautiful slides here. I must acknowledge Bible-free images. They've got beautiful slides there. So if you have to do any teaching on the Bible and all that, you can actually download for free. So the slides are here so that children, you can actually follow along and you can actually see the sequence of the events. So Jesus actually took his disciples by boat to a quiet place, as we can see in Mark chapter 6, verse 32, that Jesus took his disciples to a quiet place so that they can rest, so that they can have some food to eat. And let's see what happens after that. Great crowds followed Jesus wherever they went. Why? Why did they follow Jesus? Because they loved to hear Jesus teach. But most of all, they loved to see the signs, the miracles, and the wonders that Jesus perform. Jesus healed the lame, Jesus healed the blind. And remember, at a wedding, Jesus turned water into wine. So people are fascinated. They just want to see all these signs and wonders. But Jesus was not looking for big crowds. He was looking for faithful followers who will follow him even if there was nothing to see, even if he was not performing miracles. And it was getting late. And there was this big crowd, bigger crowd than all of you gathered here. And so Jesus turned to Philip and he asked Philip, "Where should we buy food for all these people to eat? Where should we go and buy the food?" Do you think Jesus is asking Philip this question, where to buy the food, because Philip was from this area, Bethsaida? We know this from John chapter 1, that actually Philip is actually from this area where they are now at. Do you think Jesus has asked Philip this question because he's familiar with the area? Do you think that Philip knows where are the shops, the nearest shops to go and buy food for these people? In John chapter 6, verse 6, we actually learn that Jesus was asking Philip this question to test him. Because Jesus already knew what he wanted to do, what he was going to do. Now, if Pastor Freddie asks you this question, where is the nearest McDonald's to go and buy burgers for every one of you here? Where is the nearest McDonald's? How would you answer? I see someone pointing. Where is the nearest McDonald's? Raffle City, next to Starbucks. I did my homework too. So you would answer where the place is. So do you think Philip answered that way? How did Philip answer? How did Philip answer Jesus? Instead of answering where to buy the food, Jesus said, how to buy bread for so many people? It will cost too much. So Philip said, 200 denarii is not even enough to feed everyone. Now, one denarius is one day's wage for the laborer. 200 denarii will work out to be about 6 to 7 months' wages. So Philip was getting panicky and worried. Where? And even with 200 denarii, it was not enough even to feed each person a bite of the bread. So Philip was saying, how? Where is it enough? Now, Philip has been following Jesus. He had been following Jesus all around, and he's been seeing Jesus heal the lame, heal the blind, heal those who are sick, turn water into wine at the wedding, and yet he forgot. And yet he questioned Jesus, how? How are we going to buy bread? How should Philip have answered Jesus? How should Philip have answered Jesus? Philip should have answered Jesus by saying, you know, Lord, you know where to buy the bread. Or, Lord, you are able to provide, right? Having seen all those miracles. But instead, Philip got panicky and, how? Now, why? What do you think Jesus was testing Philip for? Jesus was testing Philip. But why? Why did he have to test Philip? Because he wanted to show the disciples that this was something that they cannot do by themselves. Even if they had the money, the 200 denarii, they can't just go to the nearest shop, which was far away. Remember, they were up on the mountain in a desolate place, in a quiet place. So you cannot just go to the nearest shop. And even if you have the money, even if you have the money now for 5,000 and more people to buy McDonald's, do you think you can just walk across the road to Raffles City now and order more than 5,000 hamburgers? Can you order it? Do you think McDonald's are able to prepare the hamburgers and give it to you, more than 5,000 people now? I don't think so. You'll probably have to call McDonald's a month ahead of time and tell the manager, hey, on this date, I need more than 5,000 hamburgers. Are you able to prepare it for me? So it's impossible. It's something that is so impossible. And Jesus wanted the disciples to know and to learn that that's something that they cannot do by themselves. And what is Jesus teaching us here? Jesus is teaching us here that to have faith, to trust that God is able. God is able to take care of us. God is able to provide for us. So I have a question to ask. Is God asking something of you today? Is God asking you to trust Him for something today? At this point, another disciple, Andrew, turned to Jesus and told Jesus that there was someone with them. A little boy was with them. What do you think the little boy had with him? What do you think the little boy had with him? The boy has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. Do you think the disciples raised their eyebrows when they saw that 5 barley loaves and 2 fish? Because when they asked, who has food to share with us? So that little boy brought his food, and it was 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. Now, if you had seen those tiny little fish in the basket and that small barley loaves, would you have raised your eyebrows and say, huh? Is that even enough for the little boy? And, you know, definitely it's not enough for all of us. But even as I pondered about this passage, and even as I pondered about the 5 loaves and 2 fish, I am really amazed by that little boy. And if I'm given a chance to meet that little boy, I have some questions to ask him. My first question to ask him is, why? Why did you share your food with so many people? Why did you bring your food to Jesus? Why did you share your food? Another question that I think I would like to ask that little boy is, don't you think your food was not enough? You know, why did you bring your food to share? And I would like to think that the boy's answer, being a typical child, he'll probably say, I don't know. You know, the disciples said that Jesus needed food. So I have food, so I brought it to share with Jesus. Right? That would be a typical child's answer. I don't know. They just said that Jesus needed food, so I brought to Jesus to share. Right? And if I were his mom, would I have whispered to him and kind of like held him back and in embarrassment and said, no, don't go, it's not enough. Don't do it. You know, you don't have enough. Or would I have scolded him and said, don't be a kepo, don't be a busybody. Let the adult solve the problems. Just sit back, you know. Would I have done that as his mom? But we learn that that little boy is just like little children. They have complete trust in Jesus. They have a childlike faith. They approach Jesus without any fear. Without any fear of, I don't have enough. I am not strong enough. I'm not good enough. I am too little. They just come simply because Jesus wants them to come. And unless as adults and unless as parents we tell our children, oh, that's impossible, or you're not good enough, or you are not big enough to do something, our children have that childlike faith to trust that God will enable them too. And children are of little value in this culture. And God used the least valued to do the miracle of multiplying bread and fish. And this is the only miracle recorded in the four Gospels, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Right? And our weaknesses, do you know that our weaknesses actually delights God? Because it is only when we are weak that we are fully dependent on God, and God delights in that. How often have we held on to our skills or talents because we think that we are not good enough, or we think that our skills or talents are simply not as good as our neighbors or as our friends, so we were too shy to share? It could be singing, it could be teaching, or it could be cooking, but we just feel we're not good enough. Or how many times have we been too shy? Have we been too shy to offer to help because we feel like, oh, maybe that's very little. That's very little that we are helping. So we are too shy. We hold back. Or maybe we feel like it's so little that people will laugh at us, that we do not dare to share, or we do not dare to help someone else. Now, this is something else that I want us to ponder. Have you ever wondered, what if that little boy have not shared his 5 loaves and 2 fish? If he hadn't shared his 5 loaves and 2 fish, I believe that Jesus would have found another way to feed the multitude, right? Come on, God provided manna to the Israelites in the desert. He could have provided manna like that for the multitude that day. But then Jesus chose that boy. He chose that boy, and that boy was obedient. And that boy took that risk of being laughed at by so many thousands. I'm so fearful standing here. I cannot imagine that little boy standing in front of all that thousands with that little bit of food that he had. Right? He took that risk. He was courageous enough to stand and to present his food to Jesus. Now, God wants to give us the gift of participation. God wants us to partner with him to change the world. God doesn't need us, but he wants to give us participation. He wants us to partner, to work alongside with him, to bless others. And God is not just calling the adults. God is also calling the children too. I remember when we were still in New Zealand, we led a family outreach. We had a team of 10 adults and 10 children. And it was around Christmas time, and it was in Christchurch. And I remember that the children, they participated in all the ministries that we did. And I remembered once we were doing street evangelism. So what happened was that the children, two children could play the violin. One of them was our son Isaac, and then another girl, they played the violin. And the rest of the children, and they were varying ages. They were as young as like 5 years old, all the way up to maybe 10, 11 years old. And they were singing, they were dancing, and we were doing street evangelism together. And many people were challenged. Those who were looking, you know, the bystanders, they were amazed at how God used these children to minister His love, His message, even to the adults. So children, God is calling you to participate with Him. And for the adults, what is God asking you to share today? Maybe you've been approached. I saw the announcement just now. I think they're calling for ushers, for volunteers to be ushers, right? Ushering, maybe some of us are shy, you know, we don't like to stand there and shake someone's hand or smile at a stranger. Well, maybe God is challenging you today, like He is challenging me to move out of my comfort zone, right? Maybe God is challenging you to teach Sunday school. Right. Maybe sometimes we feel like, you know, we are not good enough, or we are too shy, or maybe you don't have enough time. There's so much needs in the world and I don't have enough time. Or children, you may be asking, what are my 5 loaves and 2 fish? The adults have, they have more, you know, they have greater skills, bigger skills. And children, you may be asking, what are my 5 loaves and 2 fish? Now, you've got 2 eyes, right? 2 eyes? God has given you 2 eyes. Those are your two fish. God gives you 2 eyes to help the blind to see. Or you use your both eyes, your 2 eyes, to see who needs help, and you help that person. God has given you 2 ears. 2 years to listen, to obey your parents or your teachers in school. God has given you 2 legs so that if your mom or dad or grandma or grandpa needs help with running an errand, you help. Go the extra mile to help. Now, do you see you've got 5 fingers on each hand? 5 fingers, 5 fish on each hand. What can you do with your 5 fingers? You can help mom wash the toilets. I know, I see the children, they're all looking at their parents now. Me washing the toilet? Well, you can help scrub a bit, right? You can start small. 5 fingers to help hold your younger brother or sister's hand. Right? Simple. Your 5 loaves and 2 fish. Or you can just simply smile at the person sitting next to you, cheer the person next to you or your classmate, or your colleague, or just pray if somebody is in need of someone to comfort him or her. Simple, very simple things that we can do. And remember, that Jesus gave thanks for the food. This is the key to the miracle. Jesus gave thanks, right? Jesus did not comment about the smallness of the gift that little boy brought. He broke the bread, he lifted it up towards heaven, and he gave thanks for the bread. Now, when we bring our 5 loaves and 2 fish to Jesus, Jesus multiplies it. It's not us. It's not about our performance. It's not how good we are. It's not how much we do. But it is in telling God, thank you for giving me 5 loaves and 2 fish so I can share. And God will multiply. He is the one who multiplies our 5 loaves and 2 fish. And parents, I am saying this for myself too. You know, sometimes when my children offer their 5 loaves and 2 fish, especially when they were younger, when, you know, they try to help me sweep the floor or do something, sometimes as a mom, I would like, no, don't do it. You know, it's worse. I've got to touch up or I've got to make it better afterwards. But I am learning. I'm learning as a mom to give thanks. Even as my children bring their 5 loaves and 2 fish to God and they offer it and as an expression of their love for God and for us, they help us. I'm learning to give thanks to God and say, thank you, God. Thank you for my children's 5 loaves and 2 fish. They are such a blessing to us, right? So do not hold your children back. Do not hold your children back if your children say, I want to help that blind person across the road. Or I want to be an usher in church. Do not tell them, you're too young. I'm sure Pastor Freddie won't want you to be there shaking someone's hand. Let an adult do it, right? So if your children want to help out, allow them to. Do not hold them back. And I would like to end today's lesson by asking another question. Do you think the little boy was the only person with food that day? Well, it's not recorded in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John that someone else had food because the little boy was the only one who offered his food. So my question to all of us here today is, would you share your 5 loaves and 2 fish with Jesus today? Shall we pray? Thank you, Father, for our 5 loaves and 2 fish. Father, you are the one who bless us, Lord, with our skills, our talents, and everything that we would need, Lord, to serve you. Lord, you show us, Lord, help us. Help us to know what are our 5 loaves and 2 fish. And help us to be thankful for that which you have given to us. Sometimes when we look at our 5 loaves and 2 fish and when we compare it with someone else's, it seems so little, it seems not good enough. But Father, we want to give you thanks for them just the same. And we want to say that, Father, use them. Use our 5 loaves and 2 fish to bless others and to multiply them so that others will be blessed by them. Thank you, Father, for the children here in this congregation. Lord, we want to bless them, Lord. I want to bless them. I bless them that, God, they would discover what are their 5 loaves and 2 fish, and they will in turn bless others with the 5 loaves and 2 fish because, God, you have blessed them with so much. Thank you, Father, for this time. Thank you for your presence. In Jesus' name we pray.